right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hey everybody, this is Mark Sussman. Thanks for tuning in to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that makes a difference, the show that's designed to inspire you, to inspire me, to really get us thinking about things that we ordinarily don't think about. And every week, as you know, I have various guests that I consider cutting-edge thought leaders, people that are trendsetters, people that kind of get us thinking again. That's who I invite, and quite often there's a publicist that sends me an email regarding somebody that's written a book, and most of the time now they're just people that I know in my circle. And today I have somebody that I've known for ages, and he's got an interesting background. His name, and some of you might already know him, is Rosin Ingrassi. He's the founder of the Hoffman Institute Foundation. He is chairman of the board of Hoffman Institute International. He received a BA from University of California, Berkeley. And ever since I've known him, he's had a lifelong commitment to transformational learning, where people get to really discover personal freedom and inner wisdom, inner knowledge. And what's interesting is he was a friend of Bob Hoffman that started the creator of the Hoffman Process 50 years ago. And this year is a celebration of the creation of this 50-year celebration of the process. And so I asked Raz to join us, and we're going to talk about some interesting things. And you know, this idea of midlife, you hear the term midlife crisis, but that kind of puts these changes that we ordinarily make in a little bit of a negative light. And so in my conversation with Raz, you know, we talked about midlife transitions and that's more or less what we're going to talk about. And he came up with a concept of what he calls unjust blessings. So Raz, thanks for being my guest on the Inspire Possibility Show. I know we're going to have another great conversation, and welcome.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be with you again, and on your show.
So, a pleasure.
Where do you want to go with this? You want me to start talking, or is there a question?
Well, yeah. Tell me what you mean by unjust blessing.
Okay, great. Well, you mentioned, you know, it's common in our culture to talk about a midlife crisis, and it's true. People have these crises, if you will, of meaning around middle age often. It seems to be a time when meaning suddenly goes out of life for people, because frequently everything they strive for and accomplished either stop supporting them or nourishing them, or somehow is taken away from them. Could be a marriage, a career, even health. And the really important part of this is that if a person is aware of what's going on, this can put them on a path of spiritual growth, spiritual discovery, renewal. In other words, the only way through this that's not regressive is the way forward is a spiritual path, discovering a spiritual healing and spiritual learning. And the self that we developed, stops having the meaning that it did, and you really need to take on something new.
So it's the idea that what gave us purpose, what lit up our life at one time, or what we thought we want, no longer does it for us, and so we're kind of at a void. We're kind of we're wondering, what's my life about? Kind of that idea.
Kind of that idea, but I'm going to say it a little more strongly. There is a spiritual emergence that's happening, which, if not attended to, becomes an emergency. And
I like
things
that.
Things happen to people, seem to happen to them, where what they were counting on, what they thought they knew, what they worked so hard for, actually what their identity was, somehow can get taken away. And it can, it could be your position, your job, your career. Suddenly you're fired and replaced by someone much younger, and you don't have an income any longer. Your marriage goes upside down. One of your kids gets into a crisis. All of these kinds of things happen to people, and the most productive response to this, to look around and say, I need to do some serious work on myself. And invariably, these crises, if you want to call it a midlife crisis, is a reaction to being stuck. So what happens is that as people get old, as people get older,
or bored, bored.
I'm going to say, maybe bored. Let me qualify that a little bit. A lot of times people feel bored, and so they create distractions and diversions, and these can lead to, they try to compensate for being bored. They try to stimulate themselves, so they do exciting things, or go on adventures, or have an affair, start experimenting with drugs, buy more houses, more cars. If they have the money, more cars, more airplanes and boats, and they acquire stuff. They do some things to, maybe they get into acquiring art. They find a way to divert themselves from their boredom, but that is going to break down. That's just that's a temporary fix. So that's actually part of what I would call, the boredom itself is a signal that something's wrong, and the attempt to compensate for that does not lead to anything productive, because life is inherently alive and exciting and dynamic. And so if you're bored, you're not connected to life. That's the big message,
mm-hmm.
not to go out and do something exciting and go have an affair or
mm-hmm.
Do something crazy, right? Go on a big adventure.
Right.
Yeah.
And this idea of being stuck, it's interesting. Even though I'm, very familiar with the Hoffman process, and I've known you for a long time, when I was putting it up on the website for our show, I went to the Hoffman Institute website, which is, for those of you listening, you just go to the hoffmaninstitute.org, and the website comes up, and it says the Hoffman process is a week-long healing retreat of transformation and human development for people who feel stuck in one or more important areas of their life. And I never necessarily thought about that feeling stuck, but it is, or sometimes I look at it necessarily maybe as a plateau. And so Bob Hoffman created this process, as we said, 50 years ago. So so this idea by doing work on ourselves, by questioning what's really going on with me? Why do I feel stuck? To start this exploration, and one of the ways is the Hoffman process. There are lots of other ways too, but and what I see the outcomes in on the website are making peace with your past, release from negative behaviors. emotional healing and forgiveness, discovering your authentic self, and improve relationships. Is there one of those ideas that you, perhaps you want to delve into and that we can talk about right now? About
I like the negative
releasing from negative behaviors. I mean, I think that's the authentic self. That's, you know, we hear a lot about that, but I like this idea. How do we release ourselves from negative behaviors?
Well, Bob Hoffman developed a theory which he called the negative love syndrome, and it is where we emotionally, as little children, before our intellect develops, and you got to remember that it's hard to remember this, but children don't have an intellect until around 6 or 7 years old. Very little. I mean, they can talk and they can simulate reason and things, but they don't really have it. And so what happens is that. Oh, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, what I want to interject, you say they don't have an intellect. So would you say that they're more, at that time, they're run by their emotions more?
Well, yeah, they're 100% emotional. I mean, when we're born, we don't have control of our bodies. We don't have an intellect. Mm-hmm. And there's just an emotional bond with our parents, with our caregivers. And so in that emotional bond, it is unthinkable to the child that the parent is, doesn't love them. And so no matter what happens, including the negative things that happen, the child blames himself or herself for that. In other words, if a child were to say, oh, mommy's a terrible mommy, she's a bad mommy, and I hate her, and the child's three, well, then they're going to lose their life support. So they can't, that's too risky. So the child says, there must be something wrong with me that mommy doesn't love me. Mommy doesn't care about me. And so, look, even good parents are not there perfectly for children all the time. And so we each of us develop certain compensations for the difficulties that we experience as little children. And we do, it's more than excusing our parents. We actually take whatever we get from them and we call that love. And very often it's conditional. So if it's conditional that a parent's love is conditional on, let's say, getting good grades, then the child has two choices: get good grades and become a goody-goody who's always trying to get good grades to be accepted by those above him, and it's inauthentic, it's not a true expression of self. So that's one choice. And the other choice is to rebel and say, well, I'm not going to do this. And then they get parents' attention, but it's negative attention. So the child has two choices: to adopt the parental, condition, or to reject it and fight against it and rebel against it. But my point is that these early childhood learnings, these emotional learnings that happen before the intellect is formed, stay with us for the rest of our lives, but they recede behind like a curtain of forgetting. We forgot where it came from. It feels like it's just who we are. I am this way. But it's actually learned behavior. And once it's discovered as learned behavior, that you're learning it to emulate your parents, to stay connected to them, and that it's no longer serving you. So you're 45 years old, and now you're just trying to earn everyone's love. You're trying to buy their love by doing good things for everyone, but you've lost touch with yourself. So you're an inauthentic person. And, you do all kinds of good things to try to get some of the other people to love you, but they don't love you. And they don't love you because you're fake. You're not real. You're inauthentic.
Right.
So,
right.
So we have to discover the source of these negative patterns. We call them negative behavioral patterns. And then learn how to release them through the way that we do it in the Hoffman process. Release your attachment to them, and then discover the authentic you underneath it.
Right, and it's a real awakening for those of you. I've actually done the process myself, and it's powerful. And what I want to do is to kind of tie this all in to this, coming back to this idea of of you know, how we started about this idea about midlife transitions and unjust blessings,
Right.
and how you're saying that when eventually it can lead really, this is really a path of spirit. We can see it as a path of spiritual discovery and renewal. And that's kind of what these crises, when we have them, these upsets, they kind of, I found these upsets, and I think that's kind of what you're, this idea that you're getting out of unjust blessings. There are these things that just, as you started to say, knock us for a loop, and we either basically have to sink or swim. And quite often before this happens, we're playing in the shallow water. And we're not really challenged, we're not motivated, and then something happens, and there's a crisis, and how we respond to that really determines who we're going to be, who we are, and we have to get in touch with our authentic self when that happens, because that's all we have.
Well, we also have our primitive coping strategies. So what will happen if you do not accept this challenge is depression, severe anxiety, loss, really big losses happen, financial losses, relationship losses. Remember the thing I said about the negative love syndrome? They all happen in relationship to our parents. And of course, we all need love, not just children, not just as children, but as we grow older. And so the negative love syndrome puts us in a position where we mistake negativity for love. And we keep doing the things that, instead of bringing us love, bring us rejection and abandonment. So as adults, what happens is that people cannot, they are, it's compulsive and automatic for them to do the unwanted behavior. And we, let's say it's me, if I'm the person doing this, I don't see it. It's just, I think I'm just being me, and I've got it all rationalized and explained, and it seems like everyone else is wrong. You know, why, what's wrong with my wife? Doesn't she know that I really mean well, that I'm a good person? Or the people at work don't understand me. So it usually is the case that we're the last one to know that we're in a crisis. And by the time we get there, all of our strategies and compensations have failed. And we fought the battle and we've lost. And now we're in a dark hole. And so the Hoffman process is not just about people who are in a dark hole, because, you know, different people recognize their emergency, if you will, their difficulties sooner than others. But since you likened or brought it back to midlife, yeah, there is this this thing, this this event, this occurrence that happens somewhere between 50 and 65 years old for most
Right.
people, which really does present itself as a dramatic crisis. And I'm just saying the only way through that is going to be spiritual evolution. And the only answers to these losses is spiritual.
So
Sometimes
what do
spiritual
you mean?
development.
What do you, so when you know, these terms are used so broadly now, you know, spirituality, religion, and I'm just curious, you know, how do you, when you say you're spiritual, or somebody, you know, so I'm spiritual. What do you get out of that? What do you mean by that, to talk about spiritual evolution? I guess to look for the deeper meaning and what happens, or what's your take on that?
Well, of course, there's phony spirituality too. So that's
Yeah.
escape into being pious and good, that doesn't work any better than anything else. But what I mean by it is that when you really come to the point where you know that you don't know, and that you feel broken and it feels like an injustice has happened to you, and you can't do anything about it. There's nothing you can do to fix it. And you know, maybe there's wild images of revenge happening, but you actually cannot fix the thing. You're powerless to change it. And so that's the beginning point. It's, you know, in AA,
So you're saying the beginning point of spiritual awakening is feeling powerless. It's something, there has to be a point when you feel powerless. You're out of, things are right, your life's out of control. Is that kind of the idea?
I didn't really say that. What I said is that when you have this this unjust, what we call the unjust blessing, or the injustice that turns out to be a blessing in midlife, that is the way through that is going to be spiritual development. I didn't say that all spiritual development starts with hitting the bottom, but I'm talking about this phenomenon of the midlife moment where a person realizes I'm an alcoholic. I've worked all my life. I've spent 12 hours a day, 6 days a week at the office. My kids are now grown up. They all hate me. My wife is getting a divorce. I can't even have an affair. No one loves me. I'm overweight. I'm sick. My health is going, you know, all this. It's like, what have I've wasted my life? So there's some form of that. Or maybe something happened that was just like you got cheated. You trusted someone and they cheated you in business or otherwise. And so I'm talking about that crisis, and I'm talking about, you know, I was going to mention the, you know, in AA, they say nobody changes until they've hit bottom. And so everyone's bottom is, you know, different. Some people have a real deep bottom. But I am talking about hitting that point.
Do you agree with that, that people don't change until they hit bottom? I mean, I've heard that. I've heard that expression, too. And I don't know if I think it's true in many cases, but I don't know if I think it's, you know, if I agree as an absolute blanket statement that people don't change to the head. But I think we change all the time, you know, if we want to. And quite often we don't want to change until we hit bottom. But a lot of people want to change all the time because they're into growing and evolving. I mean, what you're thinking about that?
So, you know, there's different levels of change, and there's different kinds of bottoms. One person's bottom is you know, much deeper. You see people who just they never change. They die. They die going down the tube. There are other people whose bottom is very low, and they finally, very deep, they finally change. There are other people whose bottom is not that deep. You know, some people can even look over the ledge and see, oh, I see, this is a cliff. And if I go over this cliff, I'm going to die. And they look at the bottom, and they resolve not to go over the cliff. So the bottom is just a metaphor. There's no place, the bottom.
Right.
It's just a metaphor for that moment when one realizes that I can't keep going in the direction I'm going. There is no way I can do this and be happy. And I have to change, and I don't know how to change. How do I change? At that point, people start looking around for some support, some ways to change. And so when I talk about spiritual evolution, what I'm always speaking about is not religiosity. You know, there's that saying that religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell, and spirituality is for people who've been there. So spirituality is the discovery of some quality inside of you that knows your path, some dimension of yourself, which is not programmed, is not fear-based, but actually knows yourself, knows your path, and that you can trust. And as you begin to be able to discern and listen to that small voice and follow it, one thing builds upon another, and you find your way out of it. And as you find your way out of it and through it, you end up with a tremendous connection to your heart and to life itself. And all of life starts to speak to you because life is alive and it welcomes your participation. And so It instead of being isolated and alone, you find yourself connected and belonging. That's a little bit what I talk, what I mean by spiritual evolution.
So what I'm hearing a little bit in what you just said too is that we get to that place where we trust that inner voice inside ourselves, where we, you know, we have a calling, and we start listening to that. And for some of us, we get to that place where we have no choice. We just have to listen to that calling and go in that direction.
Well, you always have a choice. I mean, part of the choice is to listen or not listen. So,
I'm just saying when that calling gets so loud.
There are lots of competing voices inside, okay? And I'm talking about the voice that's arguing for your goodness, your evolution, for love, for compassion, instead of the voice that's arguing that there's something wrong with you and you're irredeemable and they're all against you. And, you know, there's that voice too.
Right, exactly.
So,
those two voices.
Yeah, you got to be able to discern.
The two voices. So what about right now? You know, I always like to ask my guests, what inspires you right now?
The first answer may sound silly, but springtime inspires me. I love spring. I love everything coming alive and the blooming of the flowers. And so, you know, and the longer answer, the bigger answer is life. I love that life is unpredictable, that it's alive, that it's not a bunch of rules, and being in the dance of life.
Uh-huh. I like that. I think that's a great answer. I mean, to really, I'm going to listen to that again. So what you're saying is that life inspires you, and the fact that the uncertainty in life, as you're saying, inspires you too, that it's not predictable.
Yeah, the most salient feature of life is that it's not predictable.
Yeah.
Something is always different than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it, is that we're engaged in a force field that is always revealing itself to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's alive. It's like when you're in a relationship, when you're in love, you know, there's that quality of always being surprised, always being delighted. And there's a way of being in love with life. And I can't say I'm in love with life at every minute, but I am a lot, and that's what inspires
me. Right. And that's a great that's just a great insight, great way of thinking, of being, because so often, as you just said, a lot of people think the opposite. What do you feel right now? Your biggest challenge?
My biggest challenge is knowing and living that the best is still ahead of me. That life is, you know, that like I'm 69 years old. I could think, oh, I've accomplished everything. My best years are behind me. And so aging has a certain challenge to it of being in the moment, in the beautiful moment, in the power that this is just the perfect place to be right now and everything is great. So that's, you know, my biggest challenge. Actually, I feel more alive and more connected than at any point in my life.
That's great. Yeah. I feel the same way. I mean, it's amazing. I think a lot of it, too, is being curious. I mean, I just have found being curious is just, it's kind of for me, I would say maybe the one thing that has kept me excited is if I see something really interesting and go, I want to do that. How do they do that? And I find it real exciting, you know. And I find, Raz, you're very inspirational and exciting and motivational. And I want to thank you for being my guest on the Inspire Possibilities show. And it's been a great conversation, And I want to encourage everybody that's listening, check out the Hoffman Institute website. It's hoffmaninstitute.org, and it's just a great program. And a lot of the in these ideas we've been, Raz and I have been discussing, it will kind of give you a chance to really, for 1 week of your life, just totally focus on something like that. Because what happens so often is we don't really take time to go deep and explore these things.
Well, in the Hoffman process, you will definitely go deep, and it's not just a week. That's just the beginning. The rest of your life will expand tremendously from doing it. So, Mark, thank you. Thanks for your work and what you're doing in the world. It's so great.
Well, thank you, Raz. So, everybody, we're going to have to say goodbye. And until next week, journey on until we talk again and meet again.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.